Hi, everybody. I'm Gustav Svensson Elström, and this is Artists Alive, a podcast where I interview people in the entertainment industry about their lives, careers, and projects. With me, I have a really talented artist from the US named Jasol. What's up?
How you doing? Happy to be here.
So for my listeners who might not be too familiar with you, can't you tell them a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Yeah. So I go by the name Jasol, you know. I make music. That's where my passion lies. So I try my hardest to, you know, perfect it and share it with the people, get feedback, do better. You know, that's what I do. I'm an artist through and through.
Can you let my listeners know a little bit about how you got your start in music?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, growing up, I was always surrounded by music. You know, I'm from the South in the U.S., so it's always a lot of music going on. My entire family, you know, they're musically inclined. So I was always singing going on around me. There's always some type of music, something happening. So it was only a matter of time, you know, I finally hit that age where I got bit by the music bug. So listening to all of these different types of music growing up and hearing my people do it and my family do it, it kind of all boiled down into me. You know, first time I tried to make my own music, I think I was around 12 years old, because I had grew up trying to play piano and stuff like that. I was pretty good at it, but not crazy. Yeah, I remember my first time, you know, making it. I had, it was Audacity I was using or something like that. I had no idea what I was doing. So it was a lot of trial and error, you know, like one day finally upgraded to FL Studio and just got put hours behind it, you know. And eventually it all started to make sense. So that was really how I got my lead into it. It was unavoidable.
Awesome. We'll get into it a little bit later, as well as your music. You just gave me flashbacks to, I think, senior high. I studied media production, radio and stuff, and we had to use Audacity. And it was all a mess because it would always crash. I don't know if it was like our computers, like our MacBooks that we were using, they were a little old, you know. Mm. It was just Audacity itself. But
It's really finicky. It's real finicky.
Yeah, I think it's better for music than to do like full-on like radio shows. Really long files. I think that's quite always, crashed. But, you know, I survived that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, if you can get through that, you can get through anything, you know, with Audacity. I think the only reason why I was using it is because I could get it for free. So I was like, okay, let me just use it. Like, that was the only thing I had at the time. So that was the only reason. But I couldn't really save anything on it. Like, it was very finicky. It was very strange. I always had to start from scratch every time I used it. Every time.
Yeah, I mean, I barely remember if I could say 7 years. But what kind of program are you using now to produce?
So I use FL Studio, you know, Fruity Loops. That's my main one. I've used Pro Tools. It's really FL Studio is like my bread and butter. That was really where I went through my real trial and error process. So that was really the one I latched onto. I know it like the back of my hand. So I refuse to use anything else. I refuse.
Can you tell my listeners a bit about your day?
It's cool. You know, it wasn't really too eventful. You know, it was pretty much your standard day for me. Obviously going back over some tracks. Like every day I try to listen to older stuff that I've done with like fresh ears. So that way, maybe there's something that I like or I don't like that I can go ahead and get rid of. But outside of that, like, the day was cool. I got some food. You know, I've been chilling. I've been chilling at the house. How was your day?
Yeah, it's been a long day. I study literature. I take a literature course at a community college. We were discussing autobiographies. And we did the book circle. It was really fun. Then, after that, I went home and just chilled on the couch and just prepared for tonight. Or well,
and say pretty much the same. I know it's what you said. It's way later for you than it is for me, though, right?
Yeah, it's 10 p.m. right now, but I'm up late. So
yeah, me too.
So it's fine. But that's been my day. I Last week, I actually took a little mini course in script translating. So you know, in Europe and other countries where English is not really the dominant language,
Right.
they like to translate, movies and stuff into their languages. So I got to learn how to translate musical scripts, and it was really fun. But also, this every syllable between like the English language and Swedish language, they had to match up like exactly.
Oh yeah, it's like yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so that was a challenge, but I'm glad I was able to do it. It was really
Yeah,
fun.
challenges are good. I feel like it's the best feeling once once you get through it, once you
Yeah, and about challenges, you've been in the studio quite a lot, I like to imagine. So I was thinking if you could tell my listeners a little bit about a good session you had versus a bad session, if you could start with like the most perfect session you've had.
course. So I feel like you'll probably hear that term a lot between musicians and artists, or with anything that involves the creative mind, or just anything in general, I would say. But like, there's a certain flow state. That's what a lot of people around me call it, and a lot of people call it, in a perfect session, where when you hit that flow state, like you might come prepared for that session. You might have something written down. Sometimes people just like to go off the mind. But I feel like the most perfect session I have ever had was one that I didn't even have to write down. It was for this song called Iris. I haven't released it yet, but that one was definitely perfect. It was one of those like one take the whole song, but that one was good, but you're not entirely sure. So you're like, okay, let me get one more take. So then you go through the whole song again, no stops, nothing written down. Like you really feel the music, All the energy is right. Whenever you're recording with other people, like it's one of those, I feel like the most perfect session is one of those sessions where everything goes without saying. The engineer knows exactly what you want, or you might know exactly how to engineer what you want. Like you just get it done. But on the latter, on the latter, there are days where, having a bad session for me is sometimes like I'll randomly, it seems like I'll feel like I'm getting into my flow state, and then it's just blank. I have nothing, so it's kind of hard to like. It's I kind of start battling myself within my mind, I would say, to the sense where I could think of something, but is it genuine? It's kind of hard to get past that roadblock. Like obviously I could say anything and make it sound good if that's always possible, but in terms of like what you're saying, I take pride in that. So it'll be really, really frustrating sometimes. Even if I have something wrote down, like I'll go through it and I'll start laying stuff down, and then the second I actually say it, the second it becomes real and comes out of my mouth, I'm like, I don't like it anymore. So now I have to change that and this and this and that. Like that would probably be the best descriptions of those two situations that I have.
And how often do these respective scenarios happen?
It's gonna sound like really philosophical, but I feel like they happen, especially with bad sessions. I feel like they happen based on how often you let them happen. If I wake up one day and I know that I'm not really in the best mindset, sometimes music helps that. But if it's something that I really want to sit down and, pour all of my energy into me going into it with a bad mindset, forcing myself to do that is ultimately going to gauge like a bad session. I feel like it's definitely, sometimes you can't control it, but art's one of those things where you can't force it, So I feel like if you try to force it, 9 times out of 10, it won't surprise me if I have a bad session,
Can you tell my listeners a bit about something you're working on right now? Because I got to know from your publicist that she mentioned a bit about albums and an EP. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about your vision for those projects and
Oh
what?
yeah, of course. I have a couple in mind. I'm always brainstorming the next thing. That's honestly, I feel like that's my problem. I always like I'm like a train. I can't stop. So I'll go from one idea to the other. But as of right now, the one that's in the forefront, I have this project called Love and War, basically. It's called Love and War. And my vision for it is so kind of like that's what kind of stumbled me right now. It's really hard to describe. Like me as an artist, I try to branch off into as many genres and as many ideas as I can. I'm very eclectic. So to get the entire vision of the album. I would say the best way I would put it, it's like a beauty and chaos type of thing. You know, like there's a whole bunch of different themes. I'll go from, you know, touching on some really deep stuff to having fun, you know, to expressing the expression of emotion, you know, like a lot of aspects. It's definitely one of those things where I encourage anybody who wants to get into me or anybody who's already into me, I definitely always encourage people to listen to it first and get your own idea. Nothing's wrong, you know, nothing's wrong. However you determine it, however you interpret it, every answer is right, you know?
Can you maybe talk to my listeners a little bit about your discography that you've released so far?
Oh
Maybe
yeah, of course, of course. You know, we go from my
acknowledge.
whole thing again, like I said, I'm very eclectic. So in terms of my discography, you know, I have this song called Fall, and it's very soft, you know. I have a song called Nerds that I put out, and it's very upbeat, you know. It's bouncy. I have a song called How It Tastes. It's also very bouncy. Like, then I have other songs that get a little, you know, pull on the heartstrings a little bit more. Like, that's what I want to ultimately give to potential listeners and people that are already listening. Like, you can find whatever genre you want to listen to. I want to try to attempt it, you know? I want to be the artist, and my discography reflects that. I want to be the artist that can say, I did it all. You know, I have it all. Whatever you want to listen to, I have it. If you want to get in your head a little bit today, I can help you with that. If you want to have fun today, I can help you with that, you know? Like, if you have some emotion to get out, I can help you with that. So a lot of my songs reflect that. It's a quadruple-sided coin, you know.
You said that you like to explore genres and stuff. Is there kind of like a genre or style or something that you would not really vibe with? And what would that be?
That's a hard question. Okay, I know the age-old answer. I want to say it's not that I don't vibe with it, but I just haven't tried it yet. It's definitely country. I haven't tried that one yet. Not that I wouldn't. Not that I can't, but I just haven't really. I feel like I would really enjoy it though. I just haven't really, you know, pinpointed all of my energy onto that particular genre, you know?
Yeah, I feel like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of artists right now are delving into their country. Like,
Yeah, I've been noticing that.
yeah, maybe in a few years, maybe we'll see you delve into.
Maybe. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to it. Like I told you earlier, I love a challenge. You know, I love a challenge. So, hey, we'll see.
It feels like you've already given so much advice to my listeners already, but if you had to say something to somebody who wants to break into the music industry, whether it's like being an artist or a songwriter or producer or et cetera, what would you give kind of advice or and why?
I would say number one, getting the simple but the hardest one out of the way. Consistency is key, 1000%. Whatever you want in this life, whether it's in the music game or just in general, being consistent will grant you results. Now, in terms of overall advice, my biggest thing for me is being genuine. So, in that, I would say never be anything outside of yourself. You can always get success again with consistency, but at the end of the day, the biggest reward lies in being yourself, and other people pick up on that. The more genuine you are with somebody, the more they genuinely get to know you as a person, and the more they allow you to know them as a person. And that will ultimately grant you more connections. It'll help you network. You know, you don't ever have to stop yourself before you walk into a room and put on a face. That makes everything harder, you know? Always be yourself, 1000%. That's my biggest advice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously there are, artists who are kind of like characters or something
For
within,
sure.
but there is, a time and a place for that. And if being genuine in when it comes to networking and, people when people you're about to know, I feel like if you're constantly playing a character, that will hurt your relationships down the line.
It will. It's very tiring, you know? It's very tiring, 1000%. And that's like you said, some people, like, that's obviously a part of a lot of things. Like, sometimes people do put on this character, but if you're going to do that, let that character be an amplified version of yourself rather than something you're not completely, you know?
And once you play a character that is totally different than who you are, and you do it for a really long time, it can really mess up who you identify with, like your
Oh,
truth.
absolutely. I 1000% agree. 1000%.
Yeah, and then it's gonna be even more difficult in order to like figure out who exactly it is that you are.
For
So
sure, you lose yourself. You lose yourself in that. You know, there's a lot of sayings where, you know, some people will say if you lie enough, eventually you'll start to believe it. Or if you raise a cat to act like a dog, they'll act like a dog. But at the end of the day, they're still a cat, but they lose sight of that. You know, like it's stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's advice from us. Be yourselves.
For sure. Biggest thing.
Yeah. Now we've been talking about your career, your music, your future projects, but is it so that you have like a goal or something that you know that you want to have set for this year? And what kind of goal is that?
Yeah, so this year I want to touch as many minds as possible. You know, this year is, in my eyes, this has probably been the best year for my music that I've had so far. And that's always the goal. You always want every year, the next year, to be better than the last, you know? And I very much so feel like that's the path that I'm on right now, but things are moving a little bit faster. So I feel like this year, I just want to reach as many minds as possible, get out as many of my ideas as I possibly can, and keep everybody that is involved with my music impressed and proud of me. And that's the biggest thing for me. You know, I just want to make sure. I want to make sure that the engagement is there on my end to reach out to everybody and impress everybody, you know?
Would you say that you would have that as a goal in before the decade is also over? Like if you were to keep the same goal every year, do you think the impact would be even stronger? Or and if you had to like dream even higher than that, what would like this crazy goal be for
Crazy goal.
the 29th?
I don't know. I feel like it still all ties together. Like crazy goal. If I can reach over, if I can impact more than like 100 million lives, I might shed a tear. You know, like that's like, I feel like that would be my biggest thing. If I can convince an unfathomable amount of people to even follow that advice we just gave your listeners, you know, like to be yourself and unapologetically do so, you know, that would really solidify my goals and solidify my journey. For me, I'd be satisfied. That's the whole goal, whole point, you know. Want to help people be themselves, you know. That's my biggest thing.
We know that music is your thing, but if you had to do something else in entertainment that wasn't music, what would you do? And on the contrary, what would you not do?
I feel like if it was something else in entertainment, if it doesn't have to do with music, I could definitely get into maybe the world that you're in, like doing podcasts and stuff. I love having conversations with people. I love like talking and networking with people. So maybe that's probably something I would want to get into. You know, my other hobbies, I like to draw a lot, but that's not necessarily entertaining people. So that would probably be something else. But in terms of what I wouldn't do, probably acting. My mom said I've always been kind of good at it, but I don't know if I could like becoming, you know, every avenue that anybody takes is always difficult within its own right. But like acting is hard. Hey, that's like, I feel like if your heart's not 1000% into acting, it'll get tiring, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people who, grew up acting, for example, feel like that about music as well. So I feel like what you're accustomed to already that you feel is that you're most well, comfortable with doing and stuff. But do you remember your first gig? Where was it? What did you feel?
Yeah, definitely. My first gig, it was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It was at this spot called Mid City Ballroom, and it was a great show, 1000%. We somehow, you know, it was me and two of my other artist friends, they're my best friends, some of my brothers, Mookie and Lucille. We ended up meeting this one guy through another kind of mutual circle of artists. And, you know, we got together one day, he was listening to our music. He got really passionate about throwing us on a lineup. So I'm like, okay, I'd love to do that for sure. Somehow, some way, we end up going right before the headliner of the show, which is crazy to me. But we end up going on at like 11 o'clock. We get there a little bit earlier than 11. We get there at around like, I want to say like 10:25 p.m. And we get in there. It was a little bit different. I felt like there was a lot of people in there. So the nerves definitely started to shoot up a little bit, 1,000%. Because, you know, in my mind, when I'm just playing it out as a fantasy, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm finna go up there and kill it. Like, I'm finna rock it. We finna have such a good time. Like, the whole crowd's finna love the music. Whoop-de-whoop. We get into that back room. Yeah, nerves start to hit a little different for sure. But, you know, the time ends up coming for us to go up there. And I feel like, you know, it was a group set. So I went, in terms of everybody that we went up there with, because it wasn't just me, my friend, and my other friend. We had that entire group of our mutual artist friends were performing. They just wanted to bring us up, all three of us up with them. So, yeah, we're starting to get to the point where I'm about to perform. You know, I'm having fun. I'm teeing up with all of my homies. They doing their thing. I'm vibing out to their music. I'm still a little nervous once it gets up to me, but I feel like the second I started singing my songs and rapping my rap part, yada yada yada, I noticed like there was one particular point, I'll never forget it. I noticed that like people were loving the music. They didn't even know the lyrics. Like I'm like, y'all teeing up, y'all jumping around, y'all don't even know the lyrics. So I feel like in that moment, something just snapped. I'm like, okay. They rocking with me. I'm rocking with them. It's a great crowd. Phenomenal show. It was great, to say the least. To say the least. I walked off that stage, legs still kind of shaking a little bit, but after that point on, it got easier.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last October I did stand up for the first time ever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was really nervous about it, but then, you know, I made eye contact with a lady in like first row, and then it just all disappeared, the nervosity and stuff, nervousness. And it feels like, I don't know how it is for you, but for me it's like my brain went on autopilot, so like I didn't even have to think. It just all went like that, and then, you know.
That's what it went. Yeah, like I feel like once you get past those nerves, and yeah, like it just starts to, it's that flow state. Yeah, you know? So you start to flow, you know, start to flow for sure. I get it. That's crazy though. Stand up. That's like I feel like stand up would scare me more than performing. I'm not gonna lie.
Why?
Yeah, because I feel like stand up is a lot more intimate. There's the people are waiting for the next punchline every time. You know, with music, it's just straight. You know, straight music is very linear. You know, you go up, down.
Yeah.
But I feel like stand up has a lot more expectation, you know, in my opinion. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it will spook me a little bit more
Yeah,
for
I
sure.
mean, I feel like it's a bit easier for me, you know, since I took acting classes when I was little, but also because I got some help from an established comedian, you know, to write my routine. So I had some, you know, some support already. So I,
Oh yeah, you got your sea legs already. You got your sea
yeah.
legs.
Yeah. And then, you know, we rehearsed it a billion times. So, you know, into work anyways. But, you know, it feels nice once you've done something that you're nervous about, or
For sure. For
so
sure.
just let it go.
Oh yeah. Yeah, once you get past it, you're good.
Yeah, until it happens again, and you know,
Yeah, until
I'm on
yeah.
stage again, then it's like repeating over and over again. But I feel like if you do it like a billion times, then it's like, oh well, whatever.
Yeah, I feel like I honestly feel like, 'cause I still to this day, you know, I performed quite a bit after that first one. The nerves haven't yet, they haven't quite gone away, but I feel like it's a lot easier. Like now that I know, you know, going into it, I feel like the first time it was the fact that there was an unknown aspect, 'cause I don't know how I'm gonna feel in 5 minutes. I don't know how they're gonna react, but I feel like now that I've done it these couple of times, I don't think the nerves will go away, but the fact that I know, okay, John, like if you get past this, you know, once you pick up the mic, you'll be cool, you know. So I feel like knowing that now makes it way easier.
I love asking artists this question because the answers are always so different. Some people are like, "Oh yeah, this happens to me all the time," or people are like, "No, this would never happen to me." But have you ever been late to a gig, and like, how late were you, and why?
No, I've never. As of now, no, not yet. Not yet. I haven't been late. I don't want to ever say I'll never be late. You know, I feel like it's probably gonna happen. But as of now, I try to get there, like, you know, I try to get there at least like 30 to 45 minutes early. So
Good.
or until my stage time. You know, we usually kind of go off of. Sometimes I'll be there the entire time, but I feel like I don't want to. You know, I'll be tempted to go have fun with everybody else. You know, and I lose all my energy before I get up there. So I'd usually tend not to be there the entire time. But no, I haven't been late. I haven't been late yet. I know I'm knocking on wood. I know it's probably gonna happen soon, but not yet. Not quite.
I'm the complete opposite at times, which is
Okay.
bad. It's so awful, but it's been out of my control all of those times because sometimes I like to do live shows of this podcast. I invite, at least two artists and they're performing, and then I, interview them in between their respective sets and stuff. And every time, it doesn't matter the venue, we've always had technical issues because we use so many different microphones and stuff. So.
Yeah, now that part will do it. See that now if we're talking about if it's out of my hands, that doesn't count. That's happened a couple of times. I feel like that doesn't count. That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
No.
But that's happened.
Then I'll make people wait like 45 minutes to an hour and stuff while my producer is working on fixing everything. And the worst thing is, like one of the times, there was this record label representing one of the artists, one executive who was like really frustrated with me because of this. And I'm sorry, I was like, I'm sorry, I can offer drinks or whatever, but I can't fix this right now. Like we're working on it. I can't really snap my fingers and have it happen right now. And I feel like you're in the music business, like you're a music record label executive person, like you should know that these things happen.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. And they happen very often too. Like that's the part about it. Like and like you said, it's nothing that you can just snap and fix your fingers. And at the end of the day, like you have to you always have to make sure production is right. Like you can't just go on there just, you know, half-witting something. Like it has to be right. At least I feel like 1,000% every time it has to be right. So however long that takes, I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah. How have you grown as an artist during your career from the start until now, you think?
Oh, yes, exponentially. Honest, I say that with humility, but it's been like, you know, again, it's been a lot of trial and error throughout my music journey. You know, I taught myself how to do a lot of stuff to the best of my capability. Like when it comes to engineering, making my vocals sound the way that I want them to sound, like, you know, producing my own tracks, mixing and mastering, like in terms of growth, I'm definitely worlds away from where I used to be, you know, like even in terms of like a year ago or a year before that, take the last 2 years, I feel like I'm definitely a whole different artist in terms of growth. You know, the music's gotten better, the vocals have become clearer, you know, everything at this point now is industry standard pretty much, you know, like it's definitely, even in terms of how I write, you know, like the ideas that come to my mind, I feel like they're a lot more refined from where they used to be.
Really love, the photo app on one's iPhone. I love searching a date, like today's date, and see where what I did and out like a year ago or like 2 years.
I need to do that. I don't know why I've never thought to do that. I just like go like through an old folder and just click on
Yeah.
stuff. I never like search the exact date. I need to do that.
And then I can say like, oh yeah, I've grown
Oh
exponentially.
yeah, I'm probably gonna cringe a lot more
Yeah.
the further back I go with the years. Yikes. Yikes.
And that's what I want to say to my Zivenators as well. Do that as well.
For sure. For sure. I know I will be.
I think we're about to wrap up. Thank you so much.
Wow, it's been so fun. Thank you for having me. Thank you, listeners, for listening to me. It was great. Phenomenal. If you guys want to find me, you know I go by Ja Soul on all platforms, JahSoul. Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, any listening service, Instagram, TikTok, all of that stuff. It's all the same. So Ja Soul on all plats. You know, like I said, don't be afraid to hit me up. I'm there. I'm on social media and in front of my computer at all times. So I'm here. But
Yeah.
yeah.
And I'm 17, Zevientine. Great that I could spell that. I'm a
Yeah.
horrible speller. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Spotify, this podcast and playlists and stuff. I think those are my main ones. And everything, all of our links and stuff are linked into the description of this episode. So you guys can just check us out more easily if you're also bad like taking instructions or whatever, because I know I am sometimes.
Me too, me
Yeah.
too.
If you like this podcast, please be sure, if you're not already done so, to follow it wherever you find podcasts. If you listen to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Good Pods, or wherever else it is, and maybe give this podcast a little review. It helps with the algorithms, and I'd be super grateful. There is a bell icon as well you can press, then you'll never miss new episodes. So, yeah. And thank you so much to my 7 years for listening. I appreciate you. And I'll hear from you. Well, no, actually, you will hear from me, ha, next time. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.